map out and prioritize what I'm trying to focus on as much as possible. Literally sleep, number one. It's like, it's everything. It's like the greatest performance enhancing drug we have.
Right.
But for real.
Like, no, I know, but I'm trying to think of a pun. Cause like you said, drug, and I'm trying to overdose on sleep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
bro, I'm injecting some sleep right now.
Hey, tell me.
I'm not just on tests. I'm on sleep too.
Listen, I'm on them Z's, boy.
Yeah, I'm on them Z's. Hey,
come on, everybody on these Zen. I'm on these Z's.
I'm on these Z's. Catch me sleeping.
Yo, Zen will fuck me up, dog.
Dude, I've never done anything
like
that.
Do it.
We were on a bachelor party, or I was at a bachelor party, bachelor trip, and everybody was golfing. And they were all freaking zinned up, and I was like, dude, you know, let me try one. I've never done anything like that, dude. I almost threw up.
Did you shit yourself? No, but it was just. Have you ever had nicotine?
I was
at an event for First Form too.
No,
Jay Algier and fucking Aaron Summers were like, oh, you want a single? All right, cool. Oh, you look like that was tough. Here's a double. And I'm trying to like talk to people and be human, and like I sat in the bathroom for 25 minutes.
Nicotine and tobacco, man, it'll fuck your world up.
Nicotine, caffeine, since you got protein.
I've been doing it since 14, since I was 14 years old. So,
all right,
once the buzz wears off, you're addicted.
We should have had this going.
No, I'll use this for content. Regardless.
Oh, I didn't know you were going.
Oh yeah, we're going.
Oh, oh shit, cool. What up, boys?
Oh, well, we haven't even like. Should we do the? I mean, gotta do the little intro.
Yeah, right? Do the intro.
Oh, absolutely. All right,
cool.
Bam, 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 bam.
Are you good?
Bam, 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 bam.
Oh, I can't wait for
you. Introduce you.
We the best.
This is one of those where we just kind of like a soft open into it and just put conversation. And
I don't fucking care.
I don't either.
Yeah, yeah. I'm cool with just skipping the little intro that we usually do. No,
fuck the intro.
Hey, I don't want to mess anything up.
No, it's all good.
We still have to give a shout out to our sponsors.
Kind of
though.
Yeah. But real quick, let's do just a quick little shout out to our sponsors. Thanks to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum, as well as they have some mints. It's got caffeine, L-theanine, and infused with B vitamins, helps with memory and focus. I chew it all the time. It's been a great little tool that I've added to my tool belt over like the last 6 months. If I ever need like a quick little pick me up, or if I'm, you know, just kind of feeling like I'm mentally dragging a little bit, I'll just pop a piece of NeuroGum, and usually kind of gets me to where I need to be. I'm chewing a piece right now. I usually chew it when we podcast. I chew it if I'm, you know, if I'm working out sometimes, or if I'm just driving around showing houses or making calls. So get out there, try some NeuroGum.
And on behalf of Captain Beard Co., just want to give a real quick shout out to our friends here at the Zach and Pat Show for just giving us a little spot to essentially tell you what we do. Here at Captain Beard Co., we are a men's grooming company. We make beard balms, beard butters, beard oils, body washes, candles. And really, our goal is not to just sell you some high proprietary blend crap. You know, we make simple ingredient products that you can understand. You don't have to try to like really pronounce what's on the label. And again, if you're someone who's tired of like having patchiness, itchiness, dry skin, our products could definitely help. And if you're tired of using products that will otherwise stain your clothes, leave residue on your hands, face, and beard, or just make you feel gross and greasy, we are a great alternative. So check us out, Captain Beard Co.
It'll make your girlfriend want to kiss you.
And it'll make your girlfriend want to kiss you. We're thinking about updating our slogan. Yeah. That will give you like 5 cents for everyone.
Yeah, I think it would be good. To introduce our awesome guest today, he should need no introduction. An active UFC fighter in the lightweight and welterweight division, the great and powerful Evan Elder. Bam, 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 bam.
This is where we need Bruce Buffer.
Yeah. I do my best.
It's time!
All right, bro, so that's pretty good.
Come on, son. Listen, oh, dude. That's exhilarating. Oh,
man, I'm sure.
You guys see that like live. You guys see that that reel that was going around for a while? It's like, guys are disgusting. They
only want one thing.
They only want one thing.
And it's Connor walking.
It's so true.
How about that story though, with him and his brother Michael?
Oh, dude, that's like a crazy story.
Insane. Insane.
How is that real life?
It's insane.
We're in a comic book.
Yeah.
You got to believe in like divine intervention, yeah. Right?
100%.
That's like one of those things when people talk if we're in a simulation or not.
Right.
You're like, well, I mean, that's one of those things. Right. Like, oh, fuck. How is
did
that
did you guys
possible?
Just see the two baseball players? They're both like 6'3", have the exact same name, not related to each other, are in minor league baseball.
Oh, like one of them's from St. Louis, Brady. Are you talking about the Brady?
I have no idea what their names are.
Yeah, they're pitchers. That. Yeah.
But yeah, they're like 6'3".
I used to give one of them
red hair,
lessons.
Red beard,
yeah.
Look almost identical, same exact name, not related to each other. I was like, oh, we're in a simulation, this makes sense.
They just accidentally copied the wrong guy.
God's wild.
One of them's from St.
Louis. Just copy and pasted the wrong guy.
I'm trying to remember what Brady's
God's
name
playing
is.
With us.
He's playing.
Brady's from St. Louis. I used to give him pitching lessons.
No, really?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, Pat, I don't know if you know, Pat used to played professional baseball. So
I didn't know that.
Nice.
Baseball community, coached baseball.
What the fuck was his last name?
I literally just typed in Redbeard, baseball players, same people.
Brady Feigl.
Brady Feigl.
There's two. Yeah.
I feel like I got a picture of him.
Feigl. Holy shit.
Yes, bro. Dude. Tell me that's
wild.
The one unrelated. In Old Miss is
the guy on the right. Kind of, I'm not going to look. He looks like Ed Sheeran.
He does a little bit. No, but they definitely. I mean, they look like. They're
no offense, homie. Like, you're probably a crazy athlete. I'm not trying to be insulting. You just kind of look like Ed Sheeran.
But yeah, the one in the Old Miss stuff. He's from St. Louis.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I want to say Lindbergh. I want to say Lindbergh. Maybe. But yeah,
Feigl. I feel like I knew that name in high school though. I don't know why.
First Form sponsoring a guy right now that I used to coach. Who's in the athletics organization, Luke Mann.
Oh.
Yeah. He went to Vianney, played at Mizzou.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
Yeah.
Yeah. That name will be in the big leagues.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Let's
go.
Sweet.
What's his name?
What's his name?
Yeah.
Luke Mann.
Shout out Luke Mann.
Yeah, shout out to Luke Mann.
Got a first one.
Hell yeah.
1P fam.
Oh yeah.
1P fam. For sure. But Evan, you know, obviously you're an active UFC fighter in the UFC. So, you know, Just coming off fresh off a win. How
congrats,
are you feeling?
Congrats, man. That's awesome.
Dude. Thank you. We were all watching, dude. That was fucking insane.
Thank you, man. It was awesome. It was really fun because it was super short notice. It was very unexpected.
Yeah, what? Like it was like a 10-day, 4-day notice.
You pulled a bulk.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. It had been about a year. My fight before my last fight just here recently, the last couple weeks. That fight was July 13th, and the fight before that was July 15th of the year prior. So 2 days shy of a whole year outside of the cage. So.
Damn.
I was coming out of the PI, I just got done training on a Tuesday evening and I saw that I had a missed call from my manager. So I was like, oh, cool. Finally, you know, fight news probably. So, called him back and he was like, bro, can you fight this weekend? Like, I
was like, you asked for it, motherfucker.
Dude. And, no, 100%. I was like, yeah, man, we got to, like, I can't immediately, you know, I was kind of nervous. I was like, dude, freaking 4 days, you know, like, I don't right. I think I should just wait until, you know, I got a better opportunity. And I was like, man, fuck that, dude. Like, we cannot sit around and wait for the opportunity to be right. You know,
right, it's like you pass on that, and you're like, you know, it's just, I don't know. You never know.
Yeah, dude. And when exactly, this is why I'm just like, I feel like God's been preparing me so much lately just to like, dude, be ready to take any and every single opportunity that you're given. I really feel like God will not give us anything that we can't handle, or even at least that he can't make something good out of, you know. So, you know, you know, so I took the fight 4 days notice. It was we were both 55ers, and they let us fight at 70 since it was such short notice. Because there's no way I could make 55 on a couple days notice. Yeah, so I usually walk around. I'm like probably 185 right now, so it's a decent cut to
55.
Yeah, it was really fun, man. It's freaking super hectic. Actually, funny enough, of my four UFC fights, two of them have been on 4 days notice at welterweight. my UFC debut, which makes sense to get into the UFC. You kind of usually got to take a shitty opportunity. And just get your foot in the door, get a contract and everything. Mm-hmm. And that was a 4 days notice, up a weight class, welterweight. I actually fought a welterweight, though. He was, you know, quite
a
bit bigger.
But
this time, you know, 4 days notice, up a weight class, a welterweight. But it was against another lightweight. And but it ended up going good, man. And this is why I'm just so big now. I'm just like, dude, be ready to take any and every single opportunity. Because what if it just goes perfect? Well, you know, we have a propensity to, like, naturally kind of lean towards thinking about the negatives. Oh, man, what if this happens? Or, you know, it's a... I feel like that's the price to be paid for anything good in life, right? There's a price to be paid for everything, you know? So it's like overcoming that fear and the doubt just to step into the good things that God has waiting for you. So, you know, went out there to Colorado, flew out, had to get all my medicals done. Super crazy, hectic day.
I'm sure.
A couple medicals in the morning, flew out, had a medical there whenever I got in. Had to get my eyes dilated that day. So I was just freaking walking around blind all day. Took a video. Those stupid ass glasses they give you, they just like fold to your face. Yeah. you know, all the poster signings and medical, you know, paperwork and stuff like that. So got it all done. Made the fight happen. Fight was sick. It was my first fight in an arena. So for the UFC, since I've been in the UFC, I've only fought at the Apex. So super
what's dope. That like fighting in front of all those people?
Bro, so dope. I was super disappointed actually at first, because I was like, oh man, dude, my first UFC fight in an arena, and I'm gonna be the very first fight on the card. So I was like, oh dude, nobody's gonna be there. And
but it was packed.
Bro, I walked out through the curtains and it was super full already, and I was like, let's go.
That's
dude.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was so sick, dude. The energy is unparalleled.
So if it's a fight on short notice and you have to go to Denver, which the elevation is higher, does that like have a big impact on your cardio or conditioning or like the way you prep in those few days or anything like that?
There's really nothing you can do on that sort of notice, you know, to like prepare for that, sure. For like the altitude change. But I guess it definitely plays a role. Definitely has definitely another component, and you know, it's added to all the crazy amount of variables that there already are going into a fight. But it is what it is. You know, you get used to, especially as a fighter. You know, it's like we're training to be able to perform at our best, regardless of how we feel, no matter what. So. That's what makes the fight different than anything else. You know, it's like, for you guys that if you've competed and everything, it's like the competition feel, the feel between
training,
you can train as hard as you want, and you just really can't mimic that competition feel.
Once that adrenaline kicks in,
yeah, you know how you're playing, you know, stepping up to bat or in a pitch or anything, you know, it's like
when with the consequences are
exactly,
you know, I mean, especially when you're physically consequent, like. Your health is at risk.
I love Joe Rogan says that, you know, fighting to me, it's like one of the best analysis of what MMA is. It's like
high level problem solving with dire physical consequences.
Yeah, dude, 100%, dude. Just you're playing 4D chess with freaking every single time you get a, you know, every single time you lose a piece off the board, it's like it's damage. You know,
you're throwing just my bones at your bones. Damage.
Yeah. So. But it's sick, man. There's nothing, you know, I love fighting so much because I think it's the most analogous thing to life. I think life is a fight for every single one of us. So it's really dope to be able to practice in the physical because I think most of us, we're probably not just walking around getting fist fights everywhere we go. So most of us, our fights, Murph, you are? No.
I was like, this is St. Louis. This is probably the highest concentration of people you could say that about.
Yeah. No, it's St. Louis is a wild place, but for most of us, you know, most of our fights are mental and spiritual, you know, and I think that stuff's a lot more important than you know, learning how to fight physically. But being able to fight physically gives us a more tangible ability to understand how to approach fighting, you know, and you apply my favorite quote of all time is the essence of wisdom is to see the connectedness in all things. And it's basically just saying like your ability to relate one thing to another is like real wisdom. I feel like the more you know, the more you start seeing how interconnected just every single thing in life is. It's like, you know, a little bit about this and you're like, when you start to learn something else, you're like, oh, that's just like this, you know, the same way I would learn about that. You know, I learned about this. So whenever we learn, you know, if you can take the same principles and that you apply with really any, especially high level athletics and apply that to any other area in your life, I feel like you can really start to connect a lot of dots and make a lot of sense, especially when it comes to fighting, like I was saying, because it's like just the most analogous thing to life, life for all of us.
Yeah, so. I totally agree.
Absolutely.
Like, well, you know, what you just said just reminded me of something Rogan also says all the time, the Miyamoto Musashi quote, the once you know the way broadly, you can see it in all things. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
you
I
know,
love if that.
You can, if you can excel in one area of your life, you can also kind of take that into other areas of your life as well. I mean, it like works perfectly with fighting, I think. I mean, I'm not a fighter by any means, but I've been doing competitive jiu-jitsu now for several years and I mean, that has changed me as a person for sure. It's definitely elevated my life in a positive way, 100%.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you see it with athletes. I mean, most athletes, even after they're done with their sport, wind up being successful in whatever they're stepping into outside of it just because of what they've learned and gained, and not just the physical capacity, but the mental capacity as well to be able to push through and handle those struggles that come along with being successful. And they know most of them, they know what it's like to be one of the top 1% of what it is that they're doing. And they know what it takes to get there. And that's why, you know, you see it. I know a lot of a lot of times I'm recruiting athletes because it takes that special person to be able to do what it is that we do, even though it's not a sport or because they've been there, they've done the work.
Well, it's competitive spirit too. Yeah. I mean, this is one of those things that like, I wish I had played sports when I was younger because, I mean, later on in life, I got invested in some stuff like jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and whatnot. But it's like what that does for a person, like I'm convinced my kids will wrestle, like without a doubt. My kids are going to wrestle. They're probably going to swim. But it's not for the sake of them just knowing like self-defense or how to grapple or anything like that. It's like, no, I want you to know what it's like to work for something. And I want you to know what it's like to lose. I want you to know what it's like to get your ass kicked too. Because it's like if you can come out of the other side of that, and I'm interested to hear your origins because as long as I've known you, I've not really talked to you about it. If you can get it on the other side of that, dude, life's going to be pretty cool for you.
It's like I've said before, like that, you were talking about favorite quotes, but like one of my favorite quotes is, have you seen the movie Green Street Hooligans?
No,
it's
I haven't.
A soccer gang movie. They
really,
yeah,
it's really good.
It's really good. But like all time quote is, once you've taken a few punches and realize you're not made of glass, you don't feel alive unless you're pushing yourself as far as you can go.
I like that a lot. Yeah. Yeah, it's true, man. I mean, there's just like, there's no, whenever we're forcing ourselves to step outside of our comfort zone, face that fear, and it really is. It's really exhilarating, you know. And it's like, because it's you're stepping into the uncertainty, the unknown. You don't know how it's going to go because you're kind of exceeding your previous limits, you know. That's why it takes stepping outside of our comfort zone. It used to whatever it is we're previously we know we're able to handle, and then when you step outside of that, we're going to start figuring out what we're really capable of because we don't know yet, you know.
Right.
And that's what I love, man. I'm just like, I'm obsessed right now with just, I'm like, I've learned just enough to know that I don't know anything. And I'm like super excited to be like, shoot, dude, there's so much to learn about everything. You know, how far I can push myself, how much I can learn and grow intellectually, and just every aspect and facet of life. You know, I'm just excited to push my limits. And it's like, if you're not, I almost feel like if I'm not uncomfortable, I'm not doing something right. You know, I'm just super excited to seek out that fear and uncomfortability. Cause I'm like, yes, I'm paying the price right now. I'm, you know, a lot of times the most valuable things in life, we can't put like a monetary value on, you know, relationships, peace of mind, healthy body, skills, all these things. You know, a lot of times you can't pay for them with money. You know, you got to pay for them.
Earn them.
You got to earn them. Yep. And pay for them another way. So to me, most of the time we're paying for those things by overcoming the uncomfortability, fear, the doubt, the nerves, whatever. So if I can just keep myself there all the time, I'm like, dude, I know I'm growing.
Yeah. Well, outside of the gym, what are some things that you're doing for yourself intellectually, spiritually, emotionally that are causing you to push those boundaries?
I'm trying to read a lot. You know, I think that's it's absolutely crazy that I've spent so much of my life just being such a degenerate, you know, in the sense of like just, I literally just didn't care about learning at all.
No.
Because I was just like, oh, I just want to be the best fighter I can be. I don't need to learn anything. One day I'm gonna be the best fighter in the world, and I'll pay for everybody to do all the thinking for me.
You know? Right.
Like, couldn't have been the any worse mindset, really. You know, I was like, thank God I had fighting to be able to keep me on some sort of track, working towards something. And actually, you know what? I think it's unbelievably important to have goals, you know, set in life. You know, and whether you know, like, actually understand, you know, like in depth about like goal setting and you know, orienting your life or you know, planning out proper steps to achieve things. Having a single goal, that's all I did my whole life. I got super, super fortunate that early on I figured out, I want to be a champion in the UFC. So I had this huge goal. Like, it was really a monumental thing that kind of, it gave me some sort of direction to work. I
reverse engineer it and figure
yeah,
out 100%. How do I get there? Well, I gotta go join a gym down the street from my house. I gotta start somewhere, you know, and like, boom, yep. I definitely do want to get into like your origin story and kind of like how you got started. You know, cause I know a little bit cause you and I trained together at Finney's, but like, I don't really know like how you, like, where did you start training? Where was the first, like, when did you first start getting into martial arts? Were you like, you know, wrestling, Taekwondo kid? Like, no, kid
it. And when did it click that you're like, UFC, this is it.
Mm-hmm. I guess real quick to go back to what you were saying, you were asking about, you know, how I'm trying to challenge myself outside of the gym. You know, that to me is the best way to challenge yourself. Get on the mats. Like, seriously. Go get physically uncomfortable. I think that's the best way to challenge yourself, because you'll really start figuring out, you'll see how quick your mind wants to abandon what you're doing. And then to me, it's like, well, let's analyze those thoughts. Let's get to a point of breaking and figure out what my mind's trying to tell me, what lies it's feeding me, why it's trying to get me to stop. Right. And then you can analyze those thoughts and figure out like, what's going on? Why am I having those thoughts? Or how can I rearrange those to, cause I think our thoughts are our precursors to our actions, right? Like, almost anything that we do, for the most part, we're going to have at least some form of thought, whether it's conscious or subconscious, before we do it. You know, we're not just like walking around in zombie mode all the time. Some of us, you know, a lot of us are probably going through life a little bit more on autopilot than we would think, but still, that's still controlled by our subconscious mind, I think, you know, so we're still thinking about it in some way. But anyways, so I feel like if we can properly arm ourselves with more knowledge, having a better understanding of the words that we use to formulate our thoughts, which will then transmute into physical reality through our actions, we're going to ultimately take better actions because we can have better thoughts. So anyways, a lot of my practice, you know, whenever I'm on the mats and I'm, you know, wanting to give up or whatever, you know, it's like trying to force myself to think a certain way, like, you know, But outside of that, outside of the mats, outside of the physicality and everything, it's just finding anything that's that you can't figure out, anything that you haven't been able to overcome yet, you know, and then just trying to figure that out.
Like a Rubik's Cube.
Dude, 100%. Yeah, dude, like it was making me so mad for so long. I would see people do it. I love the quote that, you know, if it's humanly possible, consider it too within your reach, you know? And like, I really think if there's anything anybody else can do, I should be able to do it too. And not even from a point of arrogance or anything. It's just like, well, we're the same thing.
It's attainable.
Yeah. Like I should be able to, it is my responsibility to be the greatest version of myself. And if somebody else can do it, I know that they're showing me, hey, this can be, this is possible. It can be done. And, you know, to challenge myself, I'm like, just want to figure out as many things as I can. And, but always trying to find something that I haven't figured out yet. Like, shit, dude, I'm terrible at this. That's actually, and it's really hard. It's really hard to do that all the time because you start realizing how much you don't know. And I'm like, what the hell, dude? Do I know anything about anything?
Right.
And
right.
Not really. So, but anyways, Rubik's Cube was a really fun one for a long time. I took, I got really sick, for a little while. I don't know. End of last year or something. And, I was like bedridden for a couple days. So I was like, dude, this would be a perfect time to figure out this damn Rubik's Cube. I watched a 10 minute video on YouTube of like the simplicity of all the algorithms. You know, it's not that simple, but it was like a 10 minute video. I watched it for like 3 hours because it was taking me, dude, the way that you do the algorithms, if you get to the very last step, if you don't do that one right, you mess up the whole thing. So it took me like 3 hours to even solve it the first time. And, but then I was just like, so relentless about it. I was like, dude, I'm going to figure this out. I know I can, like, but it was pissing me off because I couldn't do it. And, it's funny that, I feel like the hard work that I put in on the mat, you know, directly translate to be able to do the things intellectually, because it just takes effort. It takes not giving up. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not a smart guy. Like I said, I put zero effort into learning about anything ever. Whenever I was growing up, you know, I just wanted to learn how to fight and that was it. So that was like the only thing I was learning about. And, but anyways, Eminem has a line and I think it's Rap God, but he's like, I bully myself because I make me do what I put my mind to, you know? Ooh. And I love that. I really, that's how I think about it, dude. I'm just like ruthless with myself when it comes to like being able to figure something out. I wasn't able to get this. And I was getting so frustrated trying to do this Rubik's Cube, so much so that I was like, man, fuck this, dude. I'm not doing it. And I was like, but immediately I was like, fucking pussy, pick that thing back up. Don't give up. Are you kidding me? That's what it is. You're quitting. Like you're quitting right now. You just quit in a fight. That's 100%. It's the exact same thing. And so I was just like, just keep going, just keep going, just keep going, just keep going. And eventually you figure it out.
And that's awesome. And it's sad that I think we're talking about it before, but it's kind of sad how our society's kind of catered to that quitting mindset. It's the society as a whole. It's been going downhill, in my opinion.
Yeah, unfortunately. I think there's a huge tolerance for weakness, which just breeds more and more. You know, it's just, and it's coming from a guy that I really do feel like I'm very empathetic. I really believe my purpose is to positively impact the world and other people's lives as much as possible before I go. So, I care tremendously about everybody and, as much as I can, you know, and, but I feel like I've figured out enough about myself that I would used to do things that I thought were making me happy that just lead to long-term unhappiness, you know,
like what,
just anything that's immediately gratifying. Usually there's a cost for everything. Like yeah. We were saying, right. There's this like weird duality that takes place with every single thing ever. And I think it's this beautiful design by an intelligent creator. That's like, that way we can even understand what's good, you know, the difference between good and bad. You know, if everything came easy, it wouldn't even be worth achieving. There would be no pleasure to derive from any of it, you know, because there was nothing to overcome, nothing to
do. No gratitude through earning it.
100%. So anyways, I think that, damn.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's the instant gratification. So
yeah,
it's weakening people.
Yeah.
Society.
Totally. Yep. Yeah. I love that. I love that little, I don't know if it's a quote or a poem, but hard times create strong men create easy times create weak men, hard times. Yeah. So, yeah, dude, I see now how much just discipline. I really think, you know, David Goggins says discipline is a great equalizer. I really believe it is. Like I was saying, like, I'm not an intelligent guy. And I've had a lot of people, tell me like, oh no, you know, you don't give yourself enough credit. And I think I am way more intelligent now. And I don't think our, intelligence is just something that we're subject to, like, oh, well, you know, I was born dumb. No, it is what it is. I would have been fucked. Like, seriously, I was like as dumb as it gets. But it's a skill, just like anything else. It just takes practice.
Problem solving.
Yeah. 100%. Well, I just think there's just so much benefit that you get mentally and just spiritually from doing hard things. It doesn't have to be, you know, fighting in a cage. It could be, you know, cycling, you know, like just doing something that really challenges you, something that's really like physically hard.
Physically for sure. Cause I think that's just, I think the best way to train our mind is through physical, you know? Mm-hmm. Actually, that's what I've seen a lot now with my training. I used to think that I was like really getting my body in really good shape whenever I was pushing it to the absolute limits. And now I realized that was much more for my mind, to get my mind ready to a place to go there, to be able, cause you want to quit immediately. Like, there's a lot of times you walk on the mat and I'm like, well, not feeling this today. I'm already kind of tired. Yeah. And
you
it's
got
like
a bad day. You know, you just get take, oh, this guy doesn't normally take me down. Just took me down. Fuck, you know? Yeah. Like,
and then it's so easy to let your mind spiral out of control. Mm-hmm. Start looking at all the negative things. Oh, fuck, man. And then start creating excuses like, you know what, man, I just had an off day. And like, man, fuck that shit. Figure it out. Right. There's no off days. Like, don't have bad days, you know, especially when it comes to, I've been so fortunate because for me having this goal of being a UFC world champion, you know, it's like, to me, it's like one of the, I don't know if there's really anything harder in the world to try to achieve, in my opinion. It was one of the hardest things I could do. I'm very fortunate that I just happened to align myself with something that was going to demand the greatest version of myself. You know? So it was like every single instance of every single thing ever matters, really. And, you know, like I said, I didn't always think about it that way because I just always thought, you know, what I did on the mats was all that mattered. But now I'm just like, dude, who you are off the mats directly impacts who you are off the mats, and the same thing vice versa. So,
how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Right. 100%.
Well, that, and now that you're in the spotlight and you got people that are looking at you and criticizing everything that you do. I mean, you're in the public eye now, and it's like, you want to make sure you're carrying yourself in a way that people respect and understand. And yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed watching you and seeing you from the very beginning and to where you're at now. It's been, that's the thing, is like, I've really gotten to know more about you through like Zach and Connor and those guys talking about it. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome having you here. And I think I can speak for all of us. And this is why we do our podcast, because we want to get messages like this out there. We want to be able to spread this kind of positivity to men to realize like, hey, this is what you need to do. Like, these are the things that as a man, this is what you have to do to live that life. And I think you're a great example of that.
Well, so, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Yeah, that's absolutely awesome. Thank you. Absolutely. Speaking of that though, with, you know, the, I'm sure everything I just said was probably sounding kind of rough and tough or whatever. And honestly it is. I think that, I think love is tough, you know. Yeah. It's like everything in life is like we're saying, we've been probably freaking beating a dead horse saying it's like there's a price to be paid for everything, you know. And sure. And you really have to you got to work hard at good things. Good things require effort, you know. And that's why the tolerance for weakness is so dangerous, because you think that you're by letting somebody else, including myself, I think that the relationship we have with ourselves directly impacts the relationships we're able to have with other people, you know. And that's why it's important to be, I love the quote, be strict with yourself and lenient with others, right? Because I know, I've seen how weak and futile my efforts can be to like putting towards improving myself, and how many flaws and how much of a failure I can be at times. And it's like, but I don't think I am a failure. I don't think I'm a bad person. I just think that we're all inherently flawed. And, but anyways, to me, I have to be super strict and disciplined and diligent with my approach to bettering myself, because I know, I've seen it over and over and over again. The more leniency I have with slacking off, tolerating weakness, it breeds more of it. I find it easier. If I take a day off
the cancer,
it really is. Yeah. And it's like the biggest one for me usually is probably food. As soon as I'm like, you know, as soon as I have a little bit of achievement, I'm like, oh man, you know,
I already fucked the day up. Yeah, might as well, dude, just, you know, that's my whole mentality. 100%.
Like, oh, if there's a guy who's on point about his nutrition and who has no problem showing it to you. I see the oatmeal. I see the blueberries.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I tried to, man, as stupid as this may be, I love the quote too. It's nothing tastes as good as healthy fuel. Man, I really couldn't agree with that anymore. I'm like, I don't even, it's good. Last night I had literally probably one of the best meals I've ever had in my life. It was Twisted Tree or something.
Or something.
Bro,
it's my, it's like my go-to.
That's like the steak of St. Louis.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, it's a like son. Yeah. Crazy. Oh, yeah. But anyways, I don't ever eat sweets really. Cause to me now I'm just like, I love feeling good so much. Well, especially just training. I'm just so addicted to just trying to be better. that whenever I'm doing everything right, with my nutrition, exercise, everything else, it's all symbiotic. You know, it's like our body, our brain, everything else is just one giant machine, you know? So it's like, you got to take care of yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually. And when you do, it doesn't just add up, it compounds, it really does. And so anyways, last night though, dude, I was like, I don't hardly ever eat sweets. So, they ordered a dessert. It was like this brownie, it's cookies and brownie, and then some ice cream on the side.
Diabetes special.
I literally stood up whenever I took a bite and I just stood up and was walking. I was like, get the fuck out of it. Dude, this is drugs, son. Drugs.
Yeah, sugar is a drug, bro.
Dude, and I sat there and I was like, dude, I'm just having one bite. That was it. And then yeah, right. I was like,
oh,
yeah.
Bullshit.
Dude, it's just so hard. And that's what's scary. And that's why, anything, we have to monitor anything and everything that we do to the best of our ability. And we also have to be, like I said, strict with yourself. And it's all about, you know, depending on your goals and how good you want to be.
Yeah.
That's actually one of my favorite things. I motivate myself with, like, you know, how good do you want to be? You know, I'm trying to be the best. I'm trying to be the best that I can. Because like I said, it relates to every single thing else I do in my life. So, I think fighting, mixed martial arts is my vehicle to reach my maximum human potential. I don't think that there's hardly anything else in the world that forces you to be, the greatest version of yourself more so than that, you know, in most other, high level athletics or just performance in general, you know, I would imagine being an elite level CEO of some freaking Fortune 500 company or something is like, dudes have probably got ice water in their veins, you know, savage level individuals, but,
it's different. So
it's, you know, but it's all the same too, you know, it is different, but it's all the same. You know, I kind of look at it like the recipe for success is probably pretty similar across the board. Like if you want to be really, really exceptionally good, you're going to have to be really disciplined. You're going to have to be really consistent. You're going to have to learn consistently, you know, knowledge. I don't care if you want to be the best crocheter, McDonald's employee, right. UFC fighter, CEO, it takes the same shit. You're going to have to work hard, consistently learn, be disciplined, take care, manage your relationships. You know, like it takes everything. And, so the greatest, the best you can do. And any and every single one of those fields, like it all applies and accumulates into the entirety of of our character, you know, who we are.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well said.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, I would love to get into like kind of like how, like earlier mentioned, like how you could tell us how you started.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Let's hear the like, you know, kind of how you come up. Like when did you first start training? What kind of led you on this path that you're on now?
So. Really, like ever since I feel like been a calling on my heart from God for as long as I could possibly remember. I remember watching the fights with my stepdad. He was a big UFC fan. We used to always watch the fights together and stuff and just be like, you know, man, imagine that being you up there one day, you know? And I'm like, dude, I'm going to do it. Like that's like, I felt like right away, for some reason, God put a calling on my heart. Like, that's it. That's my purpose. I'm going to be the greatest fighter in the world. Like, that's my calling, you know? And, so anyways, him being a slightly knowledgeable MMA fan, he wanted me to wait until I wrestled. So he wanted me to wrestle first, but the school that I was at, Hillsboro, at the time didn't offer wrestling until seventh grade. So I had to wait until my seventh grade year. I was about 13. And so I wrestled for seventh and eighth grade year. And then during that eighth grade year, he was like, all right, you know, you're doing okay. We'll find you in an MMA gym. So we found Hawn MMA and Vestas, just a local gym here in Missouri. And, I trained there for about 5 years until I was 19. And my third amateur MMA fight, I had lost to Luis Pena, who was in the UFC. A really good, really, really talented fighter. Lost to him my third amateur fight. So it was kind of the kick in the butt that I needed to be like, dude, you know what? If you say you want to do this, like if you want to do this, like you say you do, you got to get out of here. Like you need to go find some better training, you know, dedicate everything to this. You know, I felt like I was trying to. But I could tell, like, I was leaving, there was some fat to be trimmed, you know, I was still leaving some stuff on the table. So anyways, I had a terrible weight cut for that fight, fought like garbage.
Did you always fight at lightweight?
Yeah. I just had no understanding of nutrition and, man, that's a whole nother rabbit hole we can go down. It's just the topic of health. I think health is very, very, very misunderstood. But anyways, I had a terrible weight cut trying to get to 55 for that third amateur fight against Luis Pena. I had a terrible weight cut, fought like shit. And it was the perfect culmination of like showing me everything I was doing, I'm messing up. I have a lot of room to improve, and you need to go seek that out. Like, continually seek better and better and better training environments and coaches, and just find, pursue learning from the best, you know? And so anyways, I was like, well, I had no idea about anything because I was a fucking degenerate, like I was saying, yeah. That
19-year-old kid.
Yeah, I didn't care about learning about anything except for fighting. So I was like, well, California is a big state. They got to have good training. So I was literally just going to pack up my car and drive out there. And by the grace of God, like 2 weeks before I was leaving, some family friends of mine, they heard I was wanting to move out there, and they were like, hey, you know, our daughter just moved back home. We got an empty room if you want to come stay with us out here in Stockton. Okay. And they're like, I don't know if there's any training out here. And I was like, immediately thought of the Diaz brothers.
Yeah, the Diaz. Yeah. That was one of the first thing I think of. Yeah.
And I looked it up, and
Stockton's,
they were like,
a hell of a place, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely a big change.
Stockton, from, motherfucker.
That was good. But yeah, so I moved out there. I ended up moving out and staying with them for about a year and a half. I trained at the Nick Diaz Academy in Stockton, California for about a year, and really loved it. Super sick jiu-jitsu. To me, that was definitely the best thing I got from there was, their, quality of jiu-jitsu was super high level. So,
sure.
Anyways, I ended up moving back home to Missouri, after that. So I was about 21. So, yeah. I think I was, I turned 21 while I was out there. So I moved back home, and then I spent about a year back home, and I started training at Finney's MMA. I went there, and I kind of just bounced around, trained a little bit.
Yeah, that's where you and I met, stuff. I guess.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah. And so I was there for about a year. I met my boy Dustin Lampros, Scrappy. Shout out Scrappy, catching the pedos, yeah, like
catching
we were saying.
The pedos.
Yeah, go check him out if you can. 561 sure. Predator catching. Man, the work he's doing is sick, man. I love that dude. So
yeah, he basically, you know, catfishes pedophiles and meets up with him. You know, basically gets him arrested.
Yeah, and just, you know, keeping the kids safe, man.
Sure.
Super important, man. Especially we can talk about how crazy and bad I feel like social media is for all of us too, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but anyways, that's a whole nother story. I moved back home. I was training at Finney's for about a year, met Dustin. Dustin moved back to Florida. He had already been there for a long time. He moved back to Florida, and he ended up changing gyms. He went to what was Hard Knocks 365 at the time, H Kickboxing. It was the building was called Hard Knocks 365. Common misconception on that. I used to always just call it, yeah, I'm trying to Hard Knocks. So
it's Hard Knocks was just the building.
Yeah.
H Kickboxing. H Kickboxing.
Yep. So then shortly after, it changed to Sanford MMA. We moved from that building into a giant facility. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah. It was just
all the white, everything's all white and
white
cool.
And blue. Yeah, dude. Sick. Beautiful, beautiful, man. It was just, dude, one of the, I'm so, so blessed, man, to have gotten to be able to train under the coaches I have and have the training partners I've had. And, that was by far, I mean, that's the biggest, part of my professional career was spent there at Killcliff. Hard Knocks, then Sanford. Now it's Killcliff FC, but, same gym, same team, amazing guys, dude. Freaking, I mean, there's not a more savage room in the world. I don't think, seriously, like it's pretty well, I would say it's pretty well renowned as like one of the hardest working rooms in the world. So, so I spent 5 years there, and just recently, I moved to Vegas about 4 months ago.
Yeah, so what kind of led the move? What was the
just really man, I'm a really firm believer in just like just being able to get different looks and train under different people and, you know, learn, you know, always kind of challenging your beliefs. So like I want to make sure I'm trying to learn from as many different people as possible to get different perspectives, get different looks from different training partners. And but also, like I said, this stuff is a lot more than just fighting to me, you know. Don't get me wrong. I have every intention in the world. My goal has not changed. I'm still trying to be UFC world champion, but like I said, it's a lot bigger than just fighting to me. So I'm like, man, if that's not what God has for me, if he calls me to be somewhere else, it is what it is. You know, it's like, I'm sure I'm going to be upset. I'm sure that's, I'm going to cling to it for sure. Because that's where, you know, I feel like I want to be, that's my passion. But man, really, dude, who knows, man, this life is so finite, man. We can just be, I could be gone, you know, leaving this place, get a car accident, you know, I'm out of here. So, I think it's really important that, you know, while we're doing everything that we're doing, that we're just, enjoying life, meeting new people. And like I said, I really believe my purpose is to positively impact the world and other people's lives as much as possible. So, having the ability to kind of, you know, have new experiences, meet new people and make different connections. And, you know, it's, at the end of the day, to me, man, I think we're hopefully we're, you know, we're all going to end up in the same place. So I'll see everybody again. You know, it's like, but I'm trying to go freaking travel, explore and check out different parts of the world and meet new people and just enjoy life, man. So, with that being said, I love this shit. I love fighting. It's like I said, I'm just obsessed with, trying to be the best that I can. Cause I've seen how much it's, improved the quality of my life through just self-improvement in general. You know, just, yeah. I had no idea. I would have never in my life imagined that, just what all that we're even capable of. Cause I don't think any of us have any idea. I think that even the greatest people in the world, you know, it's like, they still haven't even reached their maximum human potential, you know? And it's like, we will just keep, every time a ceiling is set, you know, somebody's going to break it and somebody's going to show us that we're actually capable of more and more and more, you know? And I just love that. I love that idea, you know? And I think that, God has just given us the ability to, do and achieve unbelievable things, you know?
Yeah. So,
well, I'm sure also helping in Vegas. I mean, there, a lot of UFC events are out there, so it's putting you right there in the mecca. Like
had it led to, you know, hey, you're right down the street. Oh, no, it was in Colorado. Never mind. Sorry. Yeah.
But even still, like some of those, most of those events are out there. So if something comes up, I mean, at least you're, you know, putting yourself, not only getting different training and learning from different people, but shoot, you've just put yourself in a position there. If other opportunities present itself, you're readily accessible to be there.
Yeah, well, you always stay ready to go too. Like, right. I feel like, I mean, you know, you're able to take a fight on 4 days notice. I mean, I follow you on Instagram. You're always eating. Like you live the shit that you're talking about. That's for
thank
sure.
You.
You know,
thank
like you're always, I mean, you're, it's always chicken, rice and avocado and fucking
he knows.
Oatmeal and blueberries and smash.
Yeah. Smash.
Like it's always, you know, like you're always posting your meals and like, it just, you like live the life. You don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't do drugs. You're clean as it gets, like dialed into fighting 100%.
Thank you, man. Yeah. I have people ask me sometimes, like, how do you stay so disciplined all the time? You know, and to me, I don't even really look at it like that. I'm just like, I just love what I do. Like, I'm just like, it's really not work to me. Like, it's like, I have the most fun. Actually, you know, I think I seen, it was either Sal or Andy Rosella. They said, winning is more fun than having fun is fun. And I was like, bro,
the podcast with Ed Mylett a couple years ago,
bro. Yeah. I was like, that's the truest shit I've ever heard. Like I don't, but then again, it's like, what is fun? I feel like fun is subjective.
Sure.
You know, it's like, I could enjoy doing something that you might not enjoy and same thing, vice versa. Right. And, I just really have changed what seems fun to me because like before, whenever I was younger, I was obsessed with video games. That's all I wanted to do. Cause I thought nothing mattered. I thought that, well, you can only be so disciplined. You know, nobody's perfect. Nowhere, you can't be disciplined everywhere. And I was like, well, I better save my discipline. It's really, really, it's legitimately what I used to think. I was like, well, I can do whatever I want outside of the gym as long as I'm giving everything I have as soon as I step in the gym, you know? And I would do that. I mean, I would break myself every single training session. I would just give every single thing I had, which also isn't really necessarily the best thing to do either. You know, I'm seeing now I've had a lot of injuries and, there's a much smarter way to train for sure. So, I was like, oh, I'm gonna be a pro gamer and a pro fighter. You know, I'll just train whenever I can. And I'll train twice a day, every day. And then I'll just play video games for 12 hours a day outside of that. And, eating Doritos and Dr. Pepper. And, the first gym I started at Han, my nickname was the Candy Man because I would always, I would on my way to the gym, I'd grab a bag of candy and a 44 ounce Dr. Pepper. And then leaving, I'd get a bag of candy and a 44 ounce, Dr. Pepper. So, I mean, I was drinking freaking gallon of soda. Dude, I don't know how I function. I really don't. And it's so funny because I'm the complete opposite now of like, oh my gosh, I was poisoning myself, you know, like legitimately. And, but thank God, you know, he made us, very resilient and very adaptive and, we can, get away with doing wrong things for a long time. But, that's a huge thing I'm really big on now. It's just health in general, just taking care of, like I said, it all plays together mentally, physically, spiritually. If something's lacking, you know, it's all the foundation and, you know, part of our fundamental, the core of who we are, you know? So, thank God that I cleaned that up. I'm not drinking. I don't hardly ever drink soda anymore, but dude, I will say, just like I was saying with the, with that chocolate cake and ice cream or whatever the heck we were having the other day, it was freaking drugs, dude. I mean, I'm like, oh my gosh.
You take one bite. You can't insane, not get dude. Another one.
Yeah. Insane. But like to me, every once in a while, I remember, I think two fights ago, we went out to In-N-Out Burger after my fight, and my little brother was out there in Vegas, and shout out Logan Nungester. I hope that he sees that and he'll love it. We were in Vegas or whatever, and we went to In-N-Out Burger, and he was drinking a Dr. Pepper, and I was like, well, let me get a drink of that. That sounds good. Yeah, I just got done fighting. I took one sip, and I was like,
nope.
Oh my God, that's so good. I was like, no wonder people can't stop drinking this. Yeah. Like, no wonder. Dude, it's insane. But it's like, but having the discipline, that's why discipline to me is just so important, dude. Because it's like, you'll figure out later on, you'll start to, like, you don't know what you don't know. So, like, there were so many things I was doing that I was like, I didn't even know it was so bad for me. You know,
they're just natural things that people do here. You know, it's like it's part just of our culture, you know, like drinking a gallon of soda. Like, there's a ton of people out there that do that, like, every day.
And it's like, well, I'm not an athlete. I don't need to use my body. You know, I'm not like, it's, but to me, I'm like, we're all athletes. And it's like, seriously, like, we're, if you're going to be living any life at all, like, unless you're 100% sedentary, you're going to be up and moving and walking. I don't care if it's you're walking to your car,
or
you walking around the office. You want to be able to do it as long as possible too. You know, like the people that are, you know, as they get older, it's like, I feel like it's super detrimental to people in their older age, just being able to move around.
Well, I mean, at the same time too, it's like, you don't know what you don't know. Like, okay. First form sponsored athlete. Do you use OptiGreens?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How did you feel before you were using OptiGreens?
I mean, not nearly as good now.
Most people walk around with really poor gut health and they don't know what good gut health feels like. And so the first time you introduce them to the right kind of foods, you know, tropical fruits, probiotic rich foods, like, oh, wow, I feel great.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that you have to have the desire to do it for yourself. Because if you put that green drink in front of me, I'm not excited to drink it. It tastes earthy. It's just, I'm not, as much as it's good for me, I don't like it. But it's
definitely ain't a soda.
It ain't no soda.
It ain't no Dr. Pepper.
Ain't no energy drink neither. But all the same, it's like, you know, I think it's something we said the other day. It's like, you've got to have a reason to do it for yourself. And you've had that. One of the things that I love about watching your journey is just like the amount of humility that you show. And I think that's why you're going to go very, very far. Like, when it comes to staying humble, what is kind of like the constant reminder for you? And also, like, where do you think guys go wrong in your sport with losing their humility?
Well, first off, thank you. I really appreciate that. That's really kind.
It's honest.
Thank you. I guess just growing up, I always believed that that's what, as a martial artist, you have to. Dude, it's just such a humbling sport. To me, it's really easy. Like, I don't think about, like, oh, I need to try to be humble. I get humbled every day I walk in the gym. Like, literally, seriously, I'm like, as soon as you start thinking you're good, and it's like,
some dude's just going to come in.
You get caught. You know, seriously, it's like, it's you never have time not to be on all of your shit. You know, you got to be doing everything right all the time. And still then, I'm still getting beat up. I'm still losing. I'm still failing. And it's like, dude, I don't have nothing figured out. So to me, it's really not that hard for, but again, it's because I challenge myself so much every day, I think. So, you know, just challenging yourself, getting to know yourself. I think that's something that I really think that so many of us truly, because I think I've really come a really, really long way on getting to know myself. And it's through countless hours of suffering and forcing. And seriously, I think that might be a good point to what it is so often we're thinking externally, you know, we're focused on the external environment, what's happening, or, you know, things of the past, things of the future, whatever, but we're never, it's so funny. If you look at any religious practices or meditation or anything like that, it's just about, it's always about being present. Like, dude, you're going to drive yourself crazy, elsewhere. Right. Also, you never get to know yourself unless you're right here and, you know, in the present, you know, and internally focused as opposed to externally focused. But anyways, I don't think anything, it's really easy for us to be focused elsewhere whenever we're happy, feeling good. You know, we're thinking, man, what am I doing later? You know, it's like, dude, when you're fucking suffering, when you're like, ah, this hurts. Right. Like, dude, you're right here. Ain't nothing else in the world going on, right. You know, or like when you're the best one to me is just exhaustion. Right. When you're exhausted, you're not thinking about anything else except for like, oh my God, keep going. I'm right here. Like, you know, it demands you to be present. Right. And then, like I was saying, in that presence, you start realizing how much of a bitch your mind is. Right. It's like how quick you're going to make excuses. Like, oh, maybe I should just give up. I should get out of here. You know, it's like,
Goggins always say, silence the bitch voice.
Yeah, 100%. Rogan, silence your inner bitch. I think he calls it the bitch voice. Like, there's a lot of people that call that, but I think we all do have that like voice in our head. I mean, I know I've got it. You know, whenever I'm fucking exhausted, it's telling me, oh, you can stop.
Yeah, I felt it at CrossFit the other day.
Yeah. Whenever I'm up at 4 a.m. editing videos and all I want to do is go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it applies for everything. Yeah. Like I was saying with the Rubik's Cube earlier, it's like, no, pick that thing back up. That don't quit. You're literally quitting. I have my shopping cart theory. It's like, if you don't put your shopping cart back, I'm never going to be a world champion. Like if you don't pay attention to little details, you won't, if you can't do the little things, you're not going to do the big thing.
Right.
Or honestly, even vice versa too. It's kind of easy to focus on the big things sometimes, but it's the devil's in the details. It's like, you really gotta pay attention to the little things. So anyways, if I don't put my shopping cart back, that's me quitting. That's me giving up. I know it's not the right thing to do. My shopping cart don't go, that's not where I got it from. Put it back where you got it. So, to me, that's just going to create that tolerance, right? That tolerance for weakness. And it's going to build a propensity to stop just short.
It's a crazy inverse too, because it's like, okay, if you want to be so focused on the big things, but you're not willing to do the little things right, it goes back to another Andyism. It's like people completely overestimate what they can do with 6 months, but really underestimate what they can do to 5 to 10 years. It's like, it's a really crazy inverse. And it actually goes back to what you just said a minute ago. Like, stay here, be where your feet are, as they say, and I guess Stoicism, or it's something that's now on Mark's coffee cups at Omen too. And it's like, the idea largely is though, is like, when you are so focused on the thing that you dread, life becomes that. If all you're ever focused on is skirting past the work, you create for yourself 10 years more of it. But if you stay locked into this moment, you just do one good thing at a time, what happens? And your life's a testament to that. Your life, your kids, the right life you're raising, the steps I took to fix my life. I mean, I think those are all testaments to like being in the moment.
Yep.
And I deal a fuck ton with depression and anxiety. It's living in the forward and it's living in the behind. That's what that is. Let's talk about protect that man, Trump.
Yeah.
I might come to the forward for this. You know what I'm saying?
Actually funny. I guess I had a, somewhat tiny bit of a viral moment from that post fight speech in the cage.
Saw it on the typical fight. Liberal.
Yeah. but attempted Trump assassination, whatever, you know.
Yeah, because it was like it happened like 2 hours before your last fight.
Yeah, it was literally, I was in the back getting warmed up. I was freaking locked in. I was cracking pads, you know, I'm already freaking dialed in. I'm like 15, 20 minutes away from fighting. So I'm locked in. I'm in the zone, you know, and my boy Tuco was like, bro, they just tried to assassinate Trump. And I was like, what? I was like, bro, you can't hit me with some crazy ass. Yeah, he was like, dad about to take me out of the zone. So I couldn't even
into a cage and fight somebody.
Yeah. So I was like, dude, I can't even focus on that right now. I can't even pay attention to that. So I just didn't really even think anything of it. So I was cracking pads and, you know, we walk out, we fight, whatever. And, from the time I sub the dude or whatever. And then there was about 2 minutes time where, you know, the cameramen were coming in the cage and, you know, they were getting ready to announce us and everything like that. But my boy Tuco was in the cage and he was like, bro, that shit about Trump was real. Say something about it. He was like, say something about, you know, they whacked my boy. They tried to whack my boy. So,
yeah.
you know, so I was like, I gave my little post-fight speech, just talking about the fight. You know, Paul Felder was asking me about, you know, everything happened in the fight or whatever. And, took the fight on 4 days notice and stuff. And then I was like, you know, just at the end of it, I was like, man, I hadn't even seen anything. I just heard literally. I was like, I just heard that they tried to whack my boy Trump, you know, like, God, that man's okay. You know, let's go 2024. Well,
that's one of the things that's so unique about the UFC as opposed to like pretty much every other major sporting conference. Like, it's just like everyone else, it's like inundated with a certain political message, but like, The vibe of UFC events is so different. Like, being an athlete that competes in that, why do you think the audience at the UFC is so receptive to like the messages of like Donald Trump or just not what the mainstream likes to push out?
So well, I would just imagine it's what we're doing. You know, it's like, dude, you, bless you. You're watching a bunch of barbarians. You know,
but football,
modern day gladiators.
Yeah. You know, no, it's true. I guess. Maybe there's just a lot more professionalism around like the NFL.
Less corporatism within the UFC.
Yes. And I think Dana White has a ton to do with that. You know, I think Dana's fucking man. Yeah. So
I forgot who it was that he called out. He said something about Trump, and they came at him and said, "You can't say that." Like, fuck you. Yeah. I can say what I want. Yeah. If that's the case, you're not going to advertise with us anymore.
Yeah. It was some sort of sponsor. I think it was sort of bike company.
Yeah.
Maybe Peloton.
Yeah, it was Peloton.
Was it?
Yeah, pretty sure.
But he was like, yeah, dude, I mean, that's
he's pretty open.
Nice,
I remember
man.
There's a video. He's like, do we have any Pelotons in the gym?
Yeah.
Get those fucking things taken out.
Pelotons? Yeah. Fuck those fucking things.
Yeah, no, there's like that video of him like, yeah, do we have any Pelotons down the hall in the gym? And he's like, yeah, we're getting those taken out.
You know? it's cool. I think that, I think that also it's just like they give us the freedom to just be whoever we are. It's like, dude. You do whatever it takes. I think people also kind of just have an understanding, maybe not, I don't know, of just like what it takes to get in the cage. You know, it's a pretty crazy moment, you know, so it takes a lot to get in there and, you know, just do whatever you got to do to get that shit done, you know,
right.
And be the person that you are. And I think that's a lot of times, when it comes to fighting, it's like, it's the truth. When you step in the cage, man, what was done in the dark, what we brought to the light, you know, when those lights turned on, we're going to see what got done in the dark. You're going to see, what you're made of, what, you know, because it's easy to talk the talk, but, we're going to see who's really about it, you know? And, a sick example of that. I love the, not this last fight, not this previous fight, but the fight before that was my first win in the UFC. I started my UFC career 0-2. So my first fight was a short notice up a weight class, got beat up, you know, went to decision, lost. My second fight was going well. Ended up getting fight of the night. It was a really fun, exciting fight for the first two rounds. And I got cut really bad, 30 seconds in the third round and got stopped. Right. I was up on the judges' scorecards. I was, hopefully well on my way to winning, but, to me, it really doesn't even matter. You know, I'm sure people all the time are like, man, are you super upset about that? You know, it's like, it is what it is, dude. It's so much good came from it, you know, with the bonus and, learned a ton as always, you know, and it's just like, dude, it is what it is, man. Like I said, I fail often and, I just always try to fail forward, you know? So, but anyways, then the fight after that, I was 0-2 going into this third fight and, I'm on the chopping block, you know, right. It's like, if you lose three fights in a row in the UFC, you're pretty much, it's like, you're out, you know, for the most part. So especially just starting, you know, so anyways, the guy I was fighting was also 0-2 and he was, had two really good performances also, but lost both, you know, and was like, so we were both
same boat, yeah.
Same exact boat. We were both 0-2, going into this fight, really tough, exciting fighting styles, and good matchup. And I guarantee we were both thinking the exact same thing, the whole entire fight camp of like him or me. It's when I step in that fucking cage, I'm putting everything I have into this fight camp because when I step in that cage, I refuse to leave without getting my hand raised. I guarantee we were both thinking the same thing. So then we get in the cage and we're standing across the cage, looking at each other eye in eye, you know, and it's just like, let's see who means it more, you know, and it's like, this is the truth. Let's figure it out, you know, and man, I love that shit, dude. But yeah, I mean, it's sick because it's, that's why I think it demands us to be great. You know, it's like you can slack off in a lot of things and still get away with stuff. And I think a lot of times in a fight, you know, those the even just the littlest things, you know, you can be winning a fight, doing everything perfect, and you make one little mistake.
I mean, you saw get caught it with Edwards and Usman. I mean,
yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Usman was beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, for four rounds.
Yeah, one kick.
But now talking about humility again, it's like, you know, they kind of put off Bilal in that fight for a very long time. And then it's like, you know, they're like, hey, are you going to give Leon a really quick rematch? Like, nah, let him earn it another 2 or 3 years because how long he made me wait. Like, that's what humility is, man. And like, speaking of which, real quick, though, like, after that moment of, like, it's him or me, how was, after you had won, how did he, like, congratulate you? Like, what was that moment like? Because, you know, we talk about humility being a sportsman. Like, what was that kind of like?
Yeah, you know, we were both pretty banged up. My leg was beat to shit after that fight. He kicked me in the front of the shin, the calf, like
those calf kicks,
15 times. I couldn't walk for like almost 2 weeks. So, anyways, he was getting checked out by the doctor. So I went in and, talked to him, you know, check on him, say thank you. And, you know, he was super cool. You know, shout out Gennaro Valdez, great guy. So it's, that actually probably my very favorite thing about this sport is the, you know, people are very confused and
Everybody hugging each other.
Like, how can you beat the shit out of each other and then just like hug it out? And it's like, bro, you don't understand. It's really to most of us. I think most of us would agree. It has nothing to do with the fight. It's the demanding of greatness from yourself. Like
thank you for bringing that out of me.
Yes, man. We're forcing each other to be better.
There's very few times that you see it like an end of fights. They're not embracing.
Right. Well, yeah. even the bad, like, you know, and I think a lot of it's for show when those guys are sitting there going back and forth, you know, at the weigh-ins and the conferences and all that. I think it's all for show.
Yeah.
At the end of the,
at the end of it. I mean, they really.
I remember the two Diaz McGregor fights. Like, then those two like dapped up and hugged. Like, now, you know, when it was McGregor and Khabib, that didn't happen.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's definitely some instances where people just don't, even after the fight, they definitely still don't like each other.
I feel like Leon and Bilal didn't say what's up to each other after that.
I mean, like, look at the Nate Diaz Masvidal boxing fight recently. Like, they're in, you know, that didn't end cool. You know, they weren't cool with each other at the end.
I didn't even see it.
I mean, just there's a lot of like those examples could be Connor. I mean,
but yeah, there's definitely times where there's real beef.
But most often, I think, like, I would say, most often people are like dap it up.
You know what's cool though is even a lot of times at the end of those matches with like real beef where they actually don't like each other.
Squashes it.
It even if it doesn't squash it, they pay respect to each other. They'll walk over, shake hands, you know, fist bump, give each other a hug, whatever. You know, even if it's just like there's a lot of times they literally just stop and look at each other like, all right. Like you at least earned my respect.
Yeah, we don't have to be boys, but I respect you, you know, kind of thing.
Did Chito Vera ever say what's up to Sean O'Malley?
I think there's still some beef there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, but I think there's respect, but I think there's still some animosity for sure.
Yeah.
You know, because I think Chito came out like the next couple days and like saying that he was like greased up and shit. And I was like, there was like no grappling in the whole fight.
Who's Sean about to fight?
Marab. Yeah,
Marab
in the sphere. Yeah.
Shout out Marab. I've been training with him a little bit out in Vegas.
Oh, really?
Talk about humility, bro. That dude is one of the coolest fucking people I've ever met in my life. Really? Seriously, like one of the.
I believe it.
Bad dude. That's a bad motherfucker. He's a bad dude. He's a super bad dude, but just such a kind guy. Like, it's so dope. That's, to me, that's the coolest thing in the world is like seeing those two things together is just like an exceptionally bad motherfucker. You know, like uncommon amongst uncommon. And still. Goes out of his way to be kind and clean to the mats, you know, all these things. It's just like
respect.
Yeah, super respect, you know. So, shout out Marab.
Yeah, Marab's dope. I mean, he's a dude. He's got a gas tank like fucking. Yeah, I'm sure you've experienced him. Yeah. I mean, he's a freak.
Yeah, no,
I'm excited for that fight. I'm a big, big Sugar Sean fan. So,
Me too. I really am. Yeah, I think Sean O'Malley's one of the best strikers in MMA.
Yeah.
I love his feints, his footwork. Just crisp everywhere. I think he's one of the most calculated guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to get lost in the fight. Fighting, you know, cause it's like, it's so crazy. And there's so much value to simplicity because like when you try to overcomplicate stuff, it's too easy to, there's too many moving parts. It's too easy to mess up any of those moving parts. And it kind of leaves you susceptible to, you know, your opponent's offense. So, there's a lot to be said about simplicity. Sean O'Malley to me, keeps it pretty simple, but it's he's pretty elaborate with his feints, his footwork, setting his traps. Yeah, dude, he's just so calculated. Like he's just like so well thought out and meticulous with his training. Like just tell.
Well, and it's just like in being and his like body type for that weight class too. I mean, he's like, you know, I think he's like 5'11" at 135, which is like super long. You know, it's like it's gotta be hard to replicate that in the gym. You know, for training partners wise, I would imagine. But also one thing that he does that, you know, I've listened to his podcast. I've been following him for a long time. He does a lot of the stuff that you're preaching right now about, you know, bettering yourself, self-improvement, you know, huge on like meditation practices and he very, very big on recovery and sleep. I think we were talking about that before the show. And like, he's like, yeah, I think he's famously said, I got the best sleep in the UFC or whatever. You know, like,
but dude, it's serious. I mean, bro, I think it's actually almost crazy. It's almost unreal, to me anyways. Maybe I make more of it than it is, but the more I know now, the more I see, it almost seems unattainable. Like how the amount of variables that go into being a UFC world champion is insane. Like, I'm like, how could you ever do it? Dude, it is unbelievable the level of person that a champion is, you know? And to me, it's super dope because that's what I've always pictured in my mind. You know, that's what I've always strived for. That's why I try to hold myself to a standard of excellence on and off the mats, in and out of the cage, is because like, to me, that's what a champion is, you know? And it's like, and I think that almost every single champion, you know, like we were saying earlier, you don't know what you don't know, you know? So it's like, it's hard to even tell how great some people are because you don't even know, you don't even understand how many levels there are to it. The more levels that I see, the more levels I get, the more I level up, the more I see, wow, those motherfuckers are legit. They have given everything to be where they're at. And they figured out some things. They've worked so hard mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, that they figured out things that other human beings just probably will never, ever figure out. So anyways, yeah, just unbelievable, tremendous amounts of respect for,
absolutely. And I mean, being in that, and I mean, is there a fighter, speaking of all those fighters, is there one that you like in your mind that like is your favorite, or someone that you like look up to or want to emulate or be like?
I mean, to me, GSP, George St. Pierre, has always been like kind of my goat. I just think he's the most cerebral fighter. And, and to me, his understanding him a little bit more has gave me a whole different shift in my paradigm on like the way I view the fight game. I think it's so much more intricate than ever we than I at least previously gave it credit for. I thought it was, you know, it's just hard work. That's it. Whoever works the hardest is going to get the shit, you know? And it's like, hard work comes in a lot of different forms. You know, I think the hardest work of all is thinking. And that's why so few people do, you know, and I think that to really outwork people, dude, when it comes to a high level, especially in MMA, when you get to like the UFC, especially, everybody
is a killer.
Everybody is an elite level savage. Like the work ethic every single one of these people have is just ridiculous, you know? So you're not, that by itself isn't going to necessarily separate you at that level. So I think the hardest work of all is thinking. That's why so few people do it, right? So if you're really going to climb the ranks and separate yourself when you start doing the hard work of figuring out intelligently how to be better all the time. So yeah, I think that's really kind of the biggest thing.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to ask you, what you know, I know this is kind of a ways away. You know, have you thought about, you know, but just, you know, there's a timeline on, or, you know, I don't know what the right word would be, but I, you know, can't fight forever is basically what I'm trying to say. Do you have an idea of like what you plan on doing after fighting?
Yeah, dude, I can't wait to try to be the best coach in the world.
Just going
to
be the best coach. I can totally see you doing that.
I can't wait to be a coach, man. I think, like I said, I really believe my purpose is to positively impact the world and other people's lives as much as possible. And there's been very few people in this world that I've came across that have had the ability to impact my life the way coaches have. And so I think I really have a great opportunity to hopefully impact a lot of people through that. You know, first I'm going to try to be the best fighter that I can be. My goal of being UFC world champion is still 100% my goal. So I'm going to try to be the best fighter I can be. So then I can transition to being the best coach I can be. That's definitely one thing, you know, and I got all kinds of different ideas as far as like, I really want to help people to get a hold of their health and their nutrition. You know, and like I said, just positively impact people's lives as much as possible. And I think there's so many variables and aspects to that, you know, mental health, physical health, spiritual health, all kinds of different stuff that can be done. I think our food is really, really, really messed up right now. So I would love to get involved in some way to be able to kind of help people understand the importance of like a truly healthy eating, you know, help people with their mindsets, you know, figuring out how to apply martial arts principles to everyday life. I think, you know, the especially when it comes to like traditional martial arts, some of the day one stuff you learn, right, is respect, humility, camaraderie, hard work, discipline, you know, all these core values. I think that's why it's like, I think every single person ever should train martial arts. I don't think hardly anybody should fight. Fighting is really dumb. It really is. It's really dumb. I love it and I'm not going to change what I'm doing. Because unless you have a burning desire in your heart to be the best fighter in the world, you should not fight. Don't fight just because you think it's cool or want to do it. It's, there's real serious repercussions to like, you know, we're playing a dangerous game, sure. But, with that being said, everybody should train martial arts, dude. Everybody. Jiu-jitsu, it's, man. You learn so much about yourself. You know, like I was saying, all those core values of respect and discipline and humility, all of those things. And on top of it, you're getting great exercise. You know, you're staying active, you're getting mobile, you're having to challenge yourself. You're learning, learning different things. You know, you're learning how to defend yourself. You're developing confidence because you're seeing that you can, you know, man, you have to push yourself so much in you know, training any martial art. That you really, a lot of times, I think we get deceived into thinking that we're less than we are. We're incapable of doing some of the things that we think we actually truly are capable of. So Yeah, man, I think everybody should train martial arts. So I can't wait to be a great coach. I can't wait to have my own gym. I got a lot of plans for the future. I'm very passionate about life, you know, so, sure. Just unbelievably awesome. Blessed and love the life that I get to live, man. So I can't wait to just keep living it, but I'm gonna take it one day at a time. Like I said, who knows, man, I might freaking, you know, I pray to God that, he has that work for me that, I don't check out of here, before I get to do all that stuff, but we never know. So take it one day at a time, do the best you can with each day and make as much of an impact as you can before you leave.
Well, we were great. We really appreciate you coming on. Is there anything you want to plug before we let you go? And
dude, we'd be here for a whole nother day. I say it all the time, man. I hope that I don't get redundant with it. And I hope it doesn't like take away any of the value of these words because, I truly mean it. Man, God has blessed me with so much, man, so much more than I deserve. And, the people in my life, man, are just by far the greatest blessing that I have. So, awesome. All you guys, man, thank you, yeah, you know, everybody. So, love you guys. That's it. You know, so.
Well, we got one more surprise. We like to end our show. We play this game called the Tombstone Game.
Okay.
All right. So here lies Evan. What's it say on your tombstone?
That's tough. Yeah. That's tough.
Take
that's
a second.
That's
from
a good
2024.
One. Yeah. They try to whack my boy. No, that's a tough one. Man, I don't think there's anything more important in this world that I could do than try to lead people to Jesus Christ. So, that's a very intricate thing. So, I'd probably just say do your best to be your best. Fucking love each other, dude. Don't quit doing that. Don't ever. I mean, that's the most important thing. I think everything good comes from that. So, do your best to be your best and love one another, you know?
Love it.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Awesome, man.
Awesome, guys. Well, Evan, thanks again for so much for coming on.
And best of luck moving forward with the career.
Thank you.
And
we can't wait
fights.
To watch your next fight. You know, St. Louis goes crazy every time you fight. So everybody I know, guys. I feel like is just, you know, glued to ESPN Plus every time. So, thank you guys for paying attention to the show. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't yet. Comment what you guys thought below. And, you know, if you could tell a friend about the show, we're trying to grow it. So, you know, share the show. We'd really appreciate it. And, we'll see you guys next time.